Howdy. This is from Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 18. For I consider the sufferings of this present time to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us, is how it should be written. For the anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God, sons and daughters of God. For the creation was subjected to not of its own will, but because of him who subjected it in hope. That the creation itself will also be free, set free from its slavery to corruption, into the glorious freedom of the children of God. That's what the whole world's waiting to see. They don't know that's what, but they're waiting to see the revelation of the sons and daughters of God who are walking in glorious freedom. That's what's wrong with the world. That's why they keep coming up with crazy things, trying to find an identity, hoping that something will stick. Jesus is the only one that sticks. And so important for the church to walk in revival, to walk in normal, to walk in Christ-likeness, because we reveal the glorious liberty that a human being can walk in that the whole world's looking for. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers of childbirth together until now. But notice what verse 23 says. And not only this, but we ourselves, Christians, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body, fullness of our salvation when we get our new bodies, when we don't suffer death anymore. We don't go through the things we go through. So the world is groaning to see freedom. Can people really be free? I mean, internally free, free from bitterness and anger and hatred and murder, and the things that we do to each other, unfaithfulness and all that stuff. But for Christians, so we think what we've experienced here, like with Caden's death, is that we groan too. We groan, first fruits of the Spirit, and are walking in freedom. We groan within ourselves, waiting for our redemption of our bodies so that we never have to go through this kind of stuff again. So here's the question is for, in terms of all humanity, is that how far was God willing to go to identify with all creation's groaning? So you have to understand that the incarnation, when it says that Jesus was tempted in every way likened to us, when it says in Hebrews chapter 2, that he became like us in all ways, it was God's willingness to get dirty for our redemption and wholeness. You see, Jesus took on broken humanity. He clothed himself with body. He clothed himself with every person who's ever been depressed, that temptation, every person who's ever been tempted to be angry or anxious, every person who's been tempted to be prideful or angry or bitter to the point of murder or go on and on and on. He clothed himself with that fallen humanity so he could heal that fallen humanity. He assumed our total brokenness. If he didn't, then humanity hasn't been healed in him, because the unassumed is the unhealed. He assumed your brokenness. He assumed it. He got dirty. So he could identify himself with our groanings to sanctify them. This is until we get our new bodies. So for us as Christians, even though for the lost, all their groaning is done in isolation and in loneliness. That's so tragic. I mean, how many times have you said, you said this a lot, how could they handle that if they weren't Christians? But sadly, sometimes Christians don't seem to handle it. But we're different because we're in Christ. And in Christ, he's assumed our humanity. And he identifies with our groaning. And he sanctifies it. Because Jesus can do broken humanity without sinning. That's why I said at Caden's funeral, is that sadness is holy. Tears are holy, darkness. And Jesus joins us, and he participates in our weeping. He participates in our mourning, but he keeps us from the darkness that we can spiral down into when things are happening around us, when there's stuff that causes us humanity. You know, when it feels hopeless and there's despairing and you look into the future and you go, oh my gosh, if this happens, what's life going to be like? As we remember that we're in Christ and we abide in him, he walks through that with us. He participates through that with us But he keeps us from the darkness because he's light. And in him, there's no darkness at all. There's no despair in Jesus. He doesn't spiral down. We don't have to. In John, he's speaking to his disciples, praying to the Father. He says, they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth, and thy word is truth. You know, the word sanctify is the same word holy. Holy, based on other, uncommon, other. As you did send me into the world, Lord, I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, now hear this, for their sakes. Now think about what this means. And for their sakes, I sanctify that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. How can we be sanctified, be other, not like the fallen world, and how the fallen world lives, even in the midst of our groanings? Because there's only one sanctification is with him. He said, I sanctify myself in his humanity, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. Because Jesus is the truth, and he sets us free. And even in the midst of hard places where we groan, we may not even get the verse that we read. We'll get to that tomorrow, how this relates to prayer. Jesus is your prayer life. Stunning. His intercession. I'll give you a little preview. Jesus doesn't mean that Jesus is up in heaven praying for you. It means you, one with Christ and his humanity before the Father, takes your intercession and makes it his. That's why we pray and things in Jesus' name. But we'll see that tomorrow. It says in John 16 that Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. That's a promise. Charismatics don't like that promise. You know, we don't like to make that confession. Sorry, Jesus made that confession. Put it on a magnet, stick it on your refrigerator door. In this world, you will have tribulation. But then he said, but be of good cheer. Well, what? For I've overcome the world. For their sake, myself. Everything you've ever been tempted with, every dark thought you've ever been tempted to think, every dark feeling that's tried to grip your mind and cause you to surrender to, Jesus experienced it all. Every kind. And yet he didn't give in to it. As a man, he didn't give in to it. Not as God, but as a man, he didn't give in to it. He trusted in the Holy Spirit who kept him. And that Christ has joined himself, that victorious human God has joined us to him. You are part of his humanity. He sanctified himself for our sake, that we ourselves be sanctified in the truth. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, whatever you're dealing with, I remember being in Georgia because I was going to speak the next day, is that on Saturday, this thing that we've been all walking through here at the funeral, I said, you know, my part of my calling, David Epps and I were talking about this, as a pastor, is to be the guy who's okay when everybody else is not, so you can help them. That's part of the anointing. That's part of the assignment. But sometimes the groaning breaks through. And I remember getting vested back there. I don't know whether it's because I've gotten older or what, but I found myself trembling. And I realized like my nerves were like were frayed. And I was really emotional. And I thought, Lord, I'm not as okay as I thought. And here's the thing that Jesus said. He said, that's all right because I am okay. I'm the truth. And nothing about this has changed the truth about who I am and who I am in you. I'm your strength. He reminded me of that Sunday night because I slept for about 2 hours and I woke up, couldn't go back to sleep. Because it's just this whole thing kind of affected my sleep kind of thing. And because I've had to stay up a lot late and do a lot of ministry stuff and just trying to get messed up. And the Lord said, I thought, Lord, it's important what I do tomorrow, this next where I was speaking. And I said, bam, you know, no sleep. And Jesus just said to me, he said, I don't spiral down, Chuck, into darkness. And I was just able to sink into that, put on Christ, and thank him for that. And not give it one more thought. Because you see, what the enemy does to us is when you give into the temptation and you believe the lie, and then you get so focused on yourself. Livy used to say this, you know, if you self-consume, you self-destruct. But you see, he's identified with all of our groaning. And his life being lived out through us in this world we have tribulation, but we can be of good cheer because he's overcome the world. And so the one who's overcome all these things lives inside of us. He's faced it all. Whatever you're facing today, all the stresses, all the pressures, all the disappointments, all the hard playing, he's already faced it all. And he's now identified himself with your humanity. You're identified with his humanity. And he has sanctified you. That's what he sanctified himself for us that we might be sanctified. So that you can walk through all this in groaning, hurting without falling, hurting but other. It's a different kind of hurting because it's sanctified. He sanctifies it. That's what's so powerful to me. I don't have to pretend to be strong or fake it. I just have to abide in Christ and be human. But because I'm abiding in Christ as supernatural human, because that's what he is, supernatural human. And you know what? That's the glorious freedom that the world wants to see. The same fallen world we do. And they want to look at Christians and go, how in the world can you go through that and walk in glorious freedom? You see, that's the greatest testimony of all. That's why this conference we're going to do in November, I thought about canceling like conference time in light of all that's happened. But you know what? It absolutely is. And the name of the conference is Glorious Freedom, What the World Needs Now, How to Walk in Glorious Freedom in the Midst of a World That's Groaning, even we in our groaning. Okay? So tomorrow we'll talk about this in the context of the prayer thing. Okay? Suffers loss, they feel lost. For a Christian can suffer loss and there be real groaning. But because Christ is identified with you, he sanctifies that. And though you feel you've suffered loss, that's suffering, you don't feel lost. Paul said, even though he sorrowed in 2 Corinthians 7, he said, even though I sorrow, yet I'm always rejoicing. You just can't help it. Father, we thank you. This is our human response to God. He's assumed our brokenness and our fallenness and is our sanctification, makes it other. We thank you for that glorious freedom, Lord. Even through the darkest places, we don't have to walk in darkness because we've been joined to the one who is the light of the world. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.